Hi, Vicky, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Recording in progress.
Folks who are on the Zoom, if you wouldn't mind signing in the chat, and if you're affiliated with an agency, indicate so. I see a couple board members on the Zoom. You can hear us, right?
You're right next to Jay.
Okay. And we tested a while ago that we could hear you. So, all right. Couple other people are coming in. So it is 5:44. Do you want to wait 1 minute?
Do we have enough for a quorum?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't think so. We have, but the DD board president is on the Zoom. And I think Chandra is admitting people to the Zoom, so I don't have to worry about it.
Press it once and you see how the red goes on. As long as the red goes on, we're on. If you want.
Here, and when this red light is on, that means the microphone is working.
So the DD board president is on the Zoom meeting. Vicki, I muted you a minute ago. I'm sorry. Can you unmute yourself? I'm sorry. And then Dr. Joachim, the mental health board president, is here in the room. And we haven't done this before, the hybrid joint study session. So I think either one of you can call to order. Stephanie is here. I'm going to put the in the chat, I'm going to put the link to the board packet, and then there's also an addendum. I'll put that in there in case anyone doesn't have it. But you and Vicki are free to get it rolling.
All right. I guess since I'm here in person, I can. I'll call to order the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board and Champaign County Mental Health Board joint study session. Can I get a roll call, please?
Jen Straub.
Here.
Ben Housen. Daphne Maurer. Elaine Palencia. Molly McClay.
Here.
Lisa Liggins Chambers. Jane Sprandel.
Here.
Joe Omo Asagie. Jean-Paul Joachim.
Here.
Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Vicki Nyslander.
Here.
Kim Wallowick-Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Stephanie, Joe Omosagi, and Matt Hausman are also here. So you have a quorum of both boards. Because there are two board members, one from each board, on the Zoom, the members in the room can vote to allow them to participate remotely since it's official.
All right. I will move for a motion to allow the mental health board members and the DDB members that are here via Zoom to participate and join in the session. Do I have a second? All right. Hearing the second, we'll have a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say same sign. The ayes have it.
And it's possible that depending on the reason they're on Zoom, it doesn't, that vote's not, doesn't vote them in, but you still have a quorum and they're still here and we can still do the study session. And we have a really crowded room. It's really quite exciting to see all of you. So
the next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say aye. Ayes have it. Or the same sign, sorry. Those have it. So we'll move on to citizen input. All are welcome to attend the board meeting and then offer their thoughts during this time. We'll limit participation to 5 minutes per person. If there's anyone in the public that would like to participate, now's the time. And remember to state your name for the board. Anyone in the Zoom?
Stop sharing and make sure. No hands.
No. All right. With that, we'll move on to Vicki Niswander and my comments. Basically, we're here today to really hear from the community that the board is supposed to be serving. The boards are supposed to be serving, so we can better serve them and figure out how to best use resources that we have as a county for the community. So I'll leave the rest of the comments for Mrs. Niswander.
Hi. I apologize, first of all, for being on Zoom. Our family is out of the state on vacation, but I want to thank my fellow board members for trusting me with the position of president of the board. I'm truly in awe of everything that has been accomplished through the work of the DD board and the mental health board through the years, and I am honored to contribute in whatever way I'm able. Also, thanks to Lynn, Kim, and all of the staff who do so much to support our work, to support people with disabilities and having a better quality of life. And I really look forward to hearing from our panel of experts today.
With that, we'll move on to the study session. Preferences of Champaign County residents with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So I think the first group we have is the participants from the Community Choices Human Rights and Advocacy Group, Eric Beasley, Jennifer Bowie, and Jasmine Haig, and Toby Wood.
Did you guys want us to ask the questions, or were you all going to ask the questions?
I don't know the format. Did you? You don't have a microphone, so you can't say. Would you be comfortable working as one group of presenters and maybe introducing yourselves first?
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's good.
And then everybody has the same questions, but they might have really different thoughts on the questions. So however you all wanted to handle it is great with me.
I was going to make Dr. Ewing read the questions.
Oh, okay. You got to read the questions. Okay. But first, if you all would introduce yourselves.
First, yeah.
Okay, who's going first? Me first? Yeah.
Maybe we'll just start
here and go down. Who's going to
start? I'm Darren Chapman.
Hi, I'm Jasmine.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Bowie. I've been from Community Choices and PACE, and so I have been in this county all my life, so I really like advocating for people with disabilities.
Hello, my name is Toby Wood. I'm with Community Choices. I've had a lifelong disability, and I enjoy advocating for people with disabilities.
Hello, my name is Kentrell.
Hello, I'm Danielle.
All right. Thank you all for being here. Really appreciate you taking the time to advocate, like you said, for the community, for people with disabilities. The first question we had as the boards were, do you feel you know what the mental health and developmental disability boards actually do, and how can we make our meetings more accessible to everyone?
Do you want to go first, Toby?
Sure.
Great.
I know somewhat of what your mental health and disability board does, but I would like to learn more about it.
Did you want to share some of the things you had shared with us earlier about that question?
We know that you help make funding available for organizations that support people with developmental disabilities. We also know that this happens through grants, and we really don't know what else you do outside of that or what your responsibilities are, or really when you meet and what purpose of the meetings are. Thank you.
Making that information more public would make you more accessible to us. Continuing to provide the Zoom is helpful, but right now attending meetings isn't an option for those of us that work in the mornings. Advertising meeting dates and times through flyers and more friendly website would also be helpful. Invitations through emails, phone calls, or texting reminders are also helpful.
I'm going to actually pass that question because it's kind of like an, not trying to be mean, but like an irrelevant answer for me. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to read what's here? Don't want to? Okay.
So for that first question, one thing I did want to ask you, Lynn, besides putting the advertisement in the newspaper, how else do we advertise
to groups? We don't
put
it in the newspaper.
Oh, like the meeting?
No, the meeting's not in the newspaper.
So where do we post the meeting?
We're required to post all of our everything publicly, and so there are two places. One is the county website, and the Zoom link never changes, and the schedule is in every board packet. Not this one, because this is a study session, but there's a schedule with a list of all the meetings, and that's also posted on the county's website and then on our own application website. So in both of those places, that information is already available. It's not on Facebook because of Illinois Local Records Retention Act, which compels us to keep records of everything that we make public. There is still a big question mark around how you retain electronic records through social media. So we can't do it that way. So both of those websites that I mentioned are public. I'm not sure what would make them easier for people to find. Because the information is posted for about a year in advance, I'm not really sure how to, like maybe the schedule itself or the agenda for each meeting could make a nice flyer. Maybe someone could email you that and you could make flyers. I don't really know what to do about that because all of it is posted publicly already. So it's making it easier might be like coming up with a better website address, but we already have four websites that we have to monitor with regard to the Local Records Retention Act and for full compliance with Open Meetings Act and Retentions Act. So
do you know if any of the agencies that we fund provide a list of the meeting dates and times for the people they serve?
They do.
Okay. Well, why don't we have it?
Gave it to Matt.
Oh.
No, you can keep it. Just one up there.
Yeah. You can add something. Is it okay?
Yeah, she can go ahead. Yeah.
So if you have it on the website and it's hybrid, then How do you know to get the link? Where's the link going to be sent? Is the link going to be on the website, or how do they get the link if you're not? You have to. Somebody has to send the link, or it has
no,
to be.
No, the link is the same every time, and it's posted. It's on the schedule, and it's on the agenda, and it's also posted on the application website, and it's been the same for 3 years. For each meeting has a different link, so it's available. But I mean, the question is like, is it easily available? And I think you're telling us it's not. But I'm not really sure what else we can do about that without, you know, maybe some additional expense, which that's what we can do. Yeah. But
so this is, I think, a really excellent suggestions from you all, like of how we can make our meetings more accessible, particularly since like we want to support you and provide the supports that you need. We have this, the DD board has this special fund that we're, I don't remember all the details, but I'm wondering if, is there a possibility that like maybe the agencies could come up with some kind of, this would be a great fundable thing, right? Like, so if some of y'all learn like where this information is on the website, and then you guys, through your advocacy group or through the work you do, I'm not finishing my sentences because I'm getting kind of excited, sorry, but that you could find that information, post it, and then you guys share it through your networks. I don't mean to sound like we're passing the buck to you, but I feel like this would be an excellent program to fund. I don't know if that would be helpful, if we gave funding for you guys to get support, to find the information, and then share it, if you feel like that would be helpful.
Yes.
I wanted to add one thing I heard in the comments was that like the website itself could be more user-friendly. I don't know if that's something that we should discuss right now, or I just wanted to note that I heard that comment and that might be something to explore also.
We've been doing a lot of work to one of the sites. Two of them are pass accessibility testing with flying colors, but those are not the ones where we post board business. The ones that we post board business are, one is not under our control, it's the county's official site, and then the other one is under our control, that's the application site the agencies use, and we've made a lot of changes to it over the last 12 months, and some of those changes have caused other changes that created problems. So I think in the name of better accessibility, we will continue doing that. But making that site more user-friendly probably isn't the answer to the concern that you've brought up as far as like finding things easily, because even on that site, it's just got a weird name and it's got so much information on the front page that it's hard to find. I mean, I think there we should be very careful about solutions with your help, and then working on our website should just always be our commitment.
Kind of to piggyback off of that, and one of the comments here. So, are you all even aware that the videos, the recordings of the meetings, are available? Because that kind of goes to the same thing, that since you mentioned the morning meetings, you can't see them. So the first question is, being able to see the recorded meetings, would that work for you? And then the second part of that would be making it, because you're right, it's hard to find them on the website, but they are available.
I think recordings would be good, but it's like to me, they can be sent. I mean, because not everybody knows that every recording is available to the public. So, I mean, I didn't know that we could add access to the recordings. So know that, I mean, if you can, and if somebody even wanted to attend and said, this emailed you a recording like after or to access it would be probably helpful even. So I know from other groups that, you know, when you send, I would say like when you have your agenda and people send easily I've done hybrid meetings and sent a link and an agenda with it. It's helpful to know ahead of time.
Vicki, did you have something to say?
I did. I was going to suggest, I think this is a really important point, but it's my understanding that we have an hour. Is that correct? Roughly?
Until people start falling asleep and leaving, we can be here all night.
So what I'm thinking is it might be wise, rather than trying to solve each issue as it comes up, we know there are some. Let's gather the ideas from this group so that we are, we get a bigger picture. And then maybe down the road, as we meet further in our different groups, we can address some of those things more specifically. Just a thought.
I think that's a good idea. So with that, we can move on to the next question, and that is, what would make your daily life easier or better? Are there services you want but are not getting?
Where are we at? Does this work?
Yep. Right there.
We have a lot of different answers to that question. In general, it would be helpful to know what services existed and help knowing if I'm eligible for them. More support workers would be helpful, having people to talk to when I have questions.
Resources help to pay for necessities that would be helpful. SNAP benefits are not adequate and LIHEAP isn't year-round. Rent assistance is also needed. The mindset of the community isn't very welcoming. It seems like people judge folks with disabilities and we aren't respected.
One thing that could make my life a little easier is if I got help in traveling to other cities or attending events in town. I'm not sure how I would get to where I need to go on my own. If I went to a different city or state, having a staff person come with me to help with traveling around in a new area would be helpful, and it would be more fun if I could bring friends too. Well, I also need to find out what my budget is and what kind of clothes to wear and what to bring.
Thank you guys for your feedback on that one. We can go on to the next question. So just go ahead, Jane. Yeah.
All right, I'll try not to get too wordy. So if anyone's ever viewed our meetings, I can get kind of excited about stuff. But the last one on there, the mindset of the community isn't very welcoming. That is a sad reality. And some of you may know Allison Boot. She's doing a lot of social media stuff for us for like the Disabilities Expo, but she also does things for the art and the Alliance. Yeah. So I feel like we're really trying to get the word out there that, these are amazing individuals that have amazing gifts and abilities, and they most definitely should get our respect. And so I think we are trying to work on that. Again, SNAP, LIHEAP, I could sing to the choir on this, but that might be a legislative conversation. Maybe we should call our legislators. I totally appreciate, kind of even showing what your vulnerabilities are. And I love the idea of having someone to travel with you and things like that. I'm a big advocate for we need to pay the people who are being personal assistants. I've been a DSP myself. My daughter's in the field right now. The folks that are working with you, not for you, with you, really deserve a good pay so they'll stay with you guys. And so that's my two cents on that topic.
I really appreciate your input, Jane. I know we've had a lot of sessions where we've talked about the lack of funding for DSP workers in the state. I know that's something definitely like all of us would like to push forward legislatively to increase their wages so there is more support in the communities. Sorry, I think Kim had some comments as well.
Sorry, Dr. Yu Kim. Again, like I'm thinking about like what we fund as a DD board. So like a program that supports your understanding about legislative action and then to advocate might be another route. If the fix is legislatively, that might be another thing that we could potentially fund. And we could also advocate for the county board to maybe chip in for some things. They have some extra funding that through the COVID monies. And then, like, Jane, what you were saying about the campaign, I put campaign marketing. Like, maybe there needs to be some kind of partnership with the Champaign County Visitors Bureau, Visit Champaign County. They have such great marketing, and they could partner with Allison to do some disability awareness kind of campaign that maybe could be the purpose of that would be to you know, bring awareness to your to life, you know, to the that kind of thing. So those are my ideas.
Just carefully so that we're not here all night. I'm actually really sorry to see it, but really glad that you put it on there about the community not being welcoming, because we did a big needs assessment back in 2021, and that was one of the things that came through very, really strongly in the survey from all kinds of people who participated in the survey, not just folks from one particular agency or, you know, walk of life or a certain disability type, but that this community is not welcoming to people with disabilities came up really strongly, and that also at the same time this community is rich with amazing resources and they're just not available to everyone. So thank you for bringing that up again. That was just 2 years ago. Apparently it's still true, but that Alliance for Inclusion and Respect that you mentioned could actually partner with you on specific advocacy items. That is something that the DD Board and Mental Health Board do in addition to funding programs. We do a lot of legislative advocacy. It is not as easy for agencies to do that system advocacy as it used to be because of anti-lobbying laws. We are not bound by those anti-lobbying laws. So we can partner with you on advocacy for the kind of changes in rules that will make your life better and maybe help this community get it together to be more welcoming. So I really appreciate you putting that on the table. As difficult as that issue sounds, that is really appropriate for us to partner with you.
Moving on to the next question, are there supports or services that you have now that you would like to keep?
I like the flexibility I have to be able to utilize supports and services at more than one agency or organization, and I can also use my HBS waiver supports to piece supports together that allow me to farm at home, use services, and have a social life that I would normally not have. Thank you.
Social and community supports are important for people, along with being able to learn and practice life skills like cooking or cleaning.
I enjoyed the, bear with me, this is my first time. Thank you for your patience. I enjoyed the MTD services. There are many services that I get that make a big difference in my life. I attend groups which I enjoy most when they take place at the Crow or at the Champaign Library. I also have had job coaches who assist me with withdrawing money from my tip card and checking my work schedule on my laptop. My previous job coach helped me learn how to get to work on the MTD, which was useful for me. Apartment staff Joni assists me with my budgeting, shopping, and picking up fast food. She also helps me with my taxes, which takes a big burden off my shoulders.
Thank you guys for your feedback on that question. Were there any comments from the board members?
Yeah, just a question, because I think, Toby, it was you mentioned the services for more than one agency, and I know this came up when we were doing the funding, but is the communication between the agencies themselves, is that pretty smooth, or that they, that one, when you're working with one agency and then you go to another for something, if they have to talk with each other, is it pretty easy?
Usually it is, yes. Okay. It can and can't be. You know, it's a devil question.
Fair enough.
He's sandwiched between two agencies.
Yeah. I guess one question I had for the group was, do you feel that there are enough job coaches, or do you feel like it's hard to find time with them or get access to them?
I think we need more job coaches so there's more time to spend with mine, for example.
I think there's like a long waiting list for people. I mean, just to be paired up from DR, I mean, to find a job coach, I mean, it's, and to have somebody to actually, the job coaches to do their jobs, I would say, to help somebody find a job in the community that they like, they're capable of doing, and they will continue, not just point out something saying, here, this is your, here, I found something, you go do this.
Are there plenty of opportunities to get jobs in our community?
I think sometimes, not all the time.
Do you think there are certain jobs that you would like to get that you feel like there is not enough opportunity for those specific ones?
Part-time jobs, that's where I say, a lot of positions are full-time, and people with disabilities, because of Social Security reasons, are not able to work full-time and still keep their benefits. That's a number one issue.
I would also agree with Jen, you know, not being able to keep your Social Security benefits and, you know, you have to work part-time kind of really limits what a person with disabilities can and can't do in the workplace.
Well, I really appreciate your input. It's very valuable. Thank you. With that, we can move on to the next question, which is, what do you guys think is your greatest need for participating in the community? Is the county helping with this, and how can we better help?
Okay. Transportation is huge. Funding transportation options is important, and the county should continue to do this. Having the financial resources to access activities and events, can the county provide financial assistance for us?
I guess it depends on what's going on around the town, if we get any information from it. Because a lot of people don't get that type of information about certain events. They'd be like, how do you sign up for them? How do people hear about them? some of them are just lack of communication, but if we can get more communications in into pursuing like events and stuff and budget how much the event is and transportation, I think that'd be the next step of goal for everybody to really have in their life, but I can't speak for everybody, so.
Are there any board comments or questions? Go ahead, Kim.
I guess my question is, and I'm not familiar with what services are out there. Is there any resources like for like MTD bus passes? Okay, so there is that opportunity, but maybe for individuals to find it is another story. Okay.
Yeah, I have a comment. ADA is what I use. It's $2 a ride, but regular bus is $1. Can we make that the same price? Is there any way to do that?
And then again, like I said, even if we were to have all these transportations, it's also the lack of where people don't tell people if they wanted to link up to go to that same event, or they had to pay their own entry fee. So I'm just not sure how else to answer that one.
Yeah, I feel about that.
Right.
Yeah, the scheduling of the bus is not equivalent for what I need. For example, the bus service on Sundays ends at 6 and 7. I work until 10 o'clock in Savoy on Sundays. I have no way home except for my sister, and she works, starts Monday at 6 a.m. She has to lose a couple hours of sleep to get me to where I need to go.
Can I ask a follow-up question to Darren, actually?
Cantrell.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cantrell. Thank you. Control. So you were talking about the need to get more communication about events that are happening in the community. Do you mean like you're not sure like where to look to see, like on social media where to see events, or the park district book, or you know if a local bar is having a concert or something like that? Is that what you mean?
It's not just like, you know, looking up on social media or nothing, because the lack of communication is what I'm saying, is because not a lot of people will understand that everybody could go to an event, but then there might be some that have to do with other people. And on my end, I'm thinking like, okay, so you're telling us these events, but we're not even hearing none of these things. And even if we researched it, how do you know exactly who's it for? Because not everybody could go to one event if it don't pertain to them.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. We'll go to the next question, which is, when you're interested in finding a new opportunity or resource, what do you guys do?
Sometimes I do an internet search, but usually I go to a resource I'm already connected with and ask them if they know.
Is there a specific opportunity that you're talking about? I mean, can you give something specific, like?
If I sometime, like, for an agency that I've need help accessing for, if I had a, sometimes, like for Social Security or the Department of Human Services, when those services if you know they are hard to get a hold of. So therefore, you feel like you need another agency, another person to ask if when you need help to help you with like that. And that's where I think my a lot of times I had to ask my ISP or my SDA sometimes, or you need like a job coach or somebody. You just need like somebody to help you to access the with these, because if they're not available, then who do you look to for help? You need somebody there to help you.
When I want to try something new, there are lots of people I can ask. When an event is coming up that I want to go to, I would tell my optometrist so they can help me with a budget and the things I need to bring. Like when I went to Chicago for the expo, when I wanted to get back into the workforce, I let AJ know at Clark Road know, and he set me up with my supported employment supervisor who helped me find a job and train me. I am learning new things on the job from my job coach.
All right. Any other board questions or comments? Well, we'll move on to the next question. So, what do you recommend the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Board spend their money on, and how?
I would recommend that the Mental Health Board. One thing I would recommend for the Mental Health Board would be to keep funding transportation supports and services. Thank you.
Have a fund for emergency needs that people can apply for.
I would think that more education having to do with the disability, the more education that people have about the disabled, the more they're better able to serve the disabled.
You could pay for tickets or fees for people to do fun things in the community, or fun advocacy opportunities.
You know, one thing I would say is, you know, we do have, you know, a little bit of a fund after, unfortunately, we had to sell the SILAs. So that is something that is going to be available, hopefully. You know, I think if there's fun things in the community or advocacy opportunities that we can fund, and you guys think of them, I would love to have you guys either write to us or come to the meetings and let us know, so we can definitely make sure we do those things, because that's what we're here for. So,
Lynn, so this question is kind of towards you and the staff. Are we able to fund like transportation supports, and then like the idea of like tickets and fees and things like that for people to do events? Like, what would that fall under? Because I know everything has its own column.
Well, we've learned a lot about that and the hard way. So we have been advised by attorneys for each board not to do that directly anymore. We were doing that for a while and it was really fun. And we thought it'd be fun, but then COVID made it not fun. And then the credit card policy of the county made it also not fun. But fundamentally, the attorneys believe that the best way for us to do that is to fund an organization to make payments. It may be a partnership with us as far as eligibility, or what would the rules around accessing an emergency fund or tickets for fun things look like. That, you know, that could all be worked out. I think some of these organizations actually have a lot of experience with specific assistance. That's sort of the category generally. So it is very possible to do a lot of the things that y'all are talking about. We do some of them already. We can make them better, but absolutely we have to be partnering with you all to do it right. So thank you so much for these suggestions. Oh, we have another answer.
Thank you for helping us today. I mean, thank you for helping us today. We would like to tell you about the services we get. Our advice to you, I'm happy with the support I get now. I like for money to keep going to these supports someday. I like the support in getting a job, though I'm not sure if I'm ready for that yet. I think it's important to give money to the programs that make that support possible. I also would like to be part of more events out of town that give me the chance to be an advocate. Like the Speak Up Summit. I don't usually have the money to do this on my own. I would prefer to have another advocate or staff member attend with me. One other thing to think about is getting music equipment or technology that allows music artists like me to express themselves and maybe it would be fun to be a part of professional classes for musicians.
Just say that you were actually reading that for another advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Can you let them know that? So she was actually sharing that on behalf of another advocate. So.
Thank you for that. I think we have Vicky who has something to say as well.
Yes, a possible resource organization that is not funded by the DD Board or Mental Health Board is CCAMR, and they give mini grants directly to people with disabilities up to $2,000 per year for just those kinds of things. Now, the person may need support in writing a proposal for that, but they're pretty open to anything that really is something that would improve your quality of life.
What does that stand for? CCAMR.
That was an organization which existed for a couple decades here to run a small group home, and then the economics of the small group home are very difficult. So they ended up selling the house. And then establishing a trust fund.
Does that make sense?
I'm sorry.
So I'm just really pretty much down to the penny right now on my bank account. I can't find
the controls.
It won't be September 1st for a week and a half.
I can't find the controls. I'm sorry. She got it. Yay.
She got it, good.
All right. Now I don't remember what we were talking about. Oh, CCMR. I know what it used to stand for, but they changed. It was Champaign County Association.
It's Advocacy, Mentoring, and Resources.
They changed it, 20, 30 years ago to that. And so it continues as at least an annual grant opportunity, as Mrs. Nicewander mentioned. And I think they just issued the notification of funding opportunity.
They issue grants quarterly, and you can apply annually. Okay. One person can apply annually.
So I think it's recently been announced, too. So that may be an opportunity right now.
It is, yes.
Okay.
How do people know about this?
You can go to their website at ccamr.org, and there is an application process and a way to get in touch with folks to let them know, your needs. But the application process isn't complicated, but you might need some help with it.
Can I add something to that?
You can be added to an email list for that too, and so you can get notifications for that. And I mean, what we did is then sent it to all of the different programs so that they could ask people what they were interested mm-hmm. in and help them complete the application. So I think this last cycle we maybe had four or five people that submitted proposals. So we do share the information, but they can also get on that list themselves.
That just kind of made me think of a question that I was thinking about earlier when we had the question about how you find resources in the community. Do we have a one-stop shop kind of thing for IDD resources? The one thing that I had in my head would be the equivalent of the 211 in that program. And that's why I was curious if it is included in 211. Okay, that's what.
I'm not sure that helps people very much.
Yeah.
I mean, just so that's right. All the resources in Champaign County should be included in 211, but that might not be. I really appreciated what you all were saying about what you do when you want something new. Like you do exactly what I would do if I had a problem with the MTD not having a bus at the time I needed it. I would not call the MTD. I would probably call my mom. I'm serious. And then I might call an agency that has experience with advocating. Calling the MTD might be the last thing on my list. So I'm not surprised if 211 is not the best way for people to find what they're looking for when it comes to disability-related supports. You know.
And I guess that leads to the question is that something we might want to, a long-term solution of developing that is more tailored towards the IDD community.
The ESPA website, yes.
There you go.
Well, I would think, though, too, not enough people know about all the agencies or what's available, and I don't know, for the resources that are here.
Well, the Expo website really is wonderful, and it's very accessible. It even gets, like, high praise from the accessibility expert in this town. But, like your earlier comments, I don't know if it's easy to find. Do you use it?
Well, you know, I've learned something, too, for the accessibility, happy the county is doing an accessible thing for a website for a welcoming, which I didn't know about before. And this is which I think also which is helpful. If people put more stuff in but know where to go, what website it is, how do I know what website it is, what's the website to go to, I mean, what agency? So, I mean, if I don't know all the websites in the county, how do I know which one which one's for what? And
so pretty much you're saying you have to know that there is something out there. And right now you know there's something out there, but you don't know how to get to it. And so the facilitators of this, I mean, we have to get the information to the agencies and make sure the agencies get the information to the clients and to the population that needs to know what to do. And it starts early.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. We'll go on to the next question, which is the Developmental Disability Board can advocate to the county board to better support people with developmental disabilities in the community. What would you like us to advocate for?
It's hard for us to figure out what the county does, but can that information be more available and easy to understand? Making areas more walkable and accessible, like the sidewalks?
I would say outreach to rural parts of the county and fund services and supports that benefit those in those areas.
Thank you. More mental health and specific mental professions that know how to support people with intellectual or development disabilities.
I'm aware that the DD board can advocate to the county board if we have anything we'd like to share. I thought about how useful it would be to have something similar to the subway system in Chicago, where I'm from. I'm unsure what that would look like for our cities, but I know it was an asset to some people who use it in other cities. Also, I'd like the county board to know how important it is for our community to be accessible, like having sidewalks with slopes, talking crosswalks, and I'd like to further add a lot more special computerized aids for the blind. In other words, more technology for the blind, for the visually impaired who have a difficult time getting around.
I think those are, you know, great ideas. I know for the accessibility and making areas more walkable, that we would be advocating to usually like the cities, so like the city of Champaign, city of Urbana. So I mean, that's definitely something that can be done. I know it, for like the city of Champaign, it usually comes up, I think, for probably like Garden Hills and other areas that aren't as sidewalk friendly, unfortunately. You know, I think definitely some of these things can be presented to the county board as well. I know we have a county board member on our board. Do they have one on the DD board as well?
It's a liaison position. It's a little bit different, but they communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, county board member here. One thing that I'm hearing over and over again is that that transportation is a big issue, and having more transportation would benefit folks with disabilities in our community. And that's definitely something that I can take to the county board. You know, we work, and fund the MTD and paratransit and other, you know, programs like that. So that's definitely something that I can say, you know, that I can advocate for on our county board. Another thing that I heard is that that housing is an issue, and affording housing and affording food and affording those basic things is an issue when you're on Social Security disability. And it absolutely is. I can say that from my day job, that's something that I deal with all the time. And the county board does help to fund some of the programs, like with utility assistance and with rental assistance, and we've been talking about that and working on that as far as the ARPA money goes that was mentioned earlier. And I just want to put out there that other parts of the government, like Cunningham Township, like City of Champaign Township, and the Regional Planning Commission have rental assistance. That's like a one-time thing, but there are also the, subsidized housing opportunities for folks with disabilities, and most of those entities can kind of lead you towards those if those are something that would be helpful.
So we have the University of Illinois in town here. What are they doing? I know, I always bring the University of Illinois up, my alma mater. But I mean, I think the Applied Health Sciences Department, looking at things like the sidewalks and things like that, that is something that hopefully as a governmental agency we can talk to the University of Illinois and see if we can, there's some collaborative work that can be done, because it's, they're still part of our community. And also, I know Toby brought up the rural community, and I think a lot of times we just concentrate on Champaign-Urbana and forget that Champaign County has a rural community. I mean, Philo and Tolono and parts of Mahomet and Seymour and things like that are places where transportation isn't available. So, yes, we can hopefully encourage the University of Illinois and other governmental bodies to find some funding for it.
I also wanted to piggyback on that idea about the university, because one thing I heard, this is more going back a little bit, but I've heard over and over from you all, is this idea of being able to attend events, being part of activities. It's so important to being, to feeling a part of the community and that sense of belonging that I think has been mentioned and alluded to. And the University of Illinois, I know, having worked there in the past and being an alum myself, does have a lot of these events, a lot of what the sort of fun activities and interesting things in the community are brought in by the university. So I do wonder, kind of similarly, are there ways to partner with the university to make those things more accessible to you all? I also was thinking about some of the comments about like getting involved with music and expressive arts. And I know that some of there's a few programs the Mental Health Board funds for sort of other populations that I wonder if there could be ideas taken from that around like expressive arts and creativity that might be might be interesting for you all and that you might want to, that we could maybe help partner to fund in the future.
Would you do anything with Parkland, not just the U of I?
Yes, Parkland.
So I had a quick comment and a question, kind of a comment and a question at the same time. So I'm with CU at Home, so this isn't necessarily from my work experience, but from a friend that I have that has disabilities. He has a personal assistant through DOORS, but that personal assistant cannot provide transportation to him. And I'm a little fuzzy as to the details why. I think maybe it has something to do with Medicaid, but I could be wrong. Like I said, this is just kind of from my experience with a friend. But he, for example, cannot go to the store himself. He can send his personal assistant with a list of things to get for him from the store, but he himself cannot go shopping because the personal assistant can't transport him. And I think if something like that could change, that would be amazing. And I don't know how that gets done, but I don't know why a personal assistant couldn't give rides to the doctor, rides to the store, those kind of things.
I think you could call, they would have to deal with the PSW, the personal support worker versus the personal assistant. You need to call, it has to do with that issue. Maybe he needs to apply for a personal support worker instead of a personal assistant, and you'll have to go through all, they can tell you all that process.
And I'm sure their legislation has changed over the years in how the personal assistant and the personal support worker works. And I think those are things long time ago I worked at DSC, and I did some of that work also, and I think there are lots of ways in which we've changed rules and laws that sometimes have not been very beneficial, unfortunately.
Any other comments or questions? All right. Seeing none. Oh, go.
Yeah. I guess I had two comments and questions, but the first one I didn't see in this list of questions that I think is really an important question is, how can people make their voices heard more? The first question about attending meetings, I'm like, meetings, you know, they're not always that exciting and interesting and may not really be the best way to get your voice heard. So the question I would like to put forward to everybody to think about over the next coming months is, what can we do to allow people who are receiving the services to have your voices heard going forward all the time? And you think about that too, and let's let's work on that. And then the other comment that I had is there's nobody here tonight who's in a wheelchair. Is there a wheelchair accessible bus that comes to the Brookins after 5 o'clock? And how long would it take somebody to get here and get back home if they did want to attend a meeting or a function? Because MTD is really working hard on their accessibility. They've got the kneeling buses, but it's still a long, long way to go. And it would be fun to put up some kind of community event where people who don't have to be in wheelchairs would agree to be in a wheelchair for, let's say, 12 hours and try to get around the community and see how well that worked for them. Maybe we could do it as a little publicity stunt.
I think the ADA, I mean, that's what the paratransit for the ADA, you know, for the MTD, you know, the hours that mostly are the regular, but the it seems like the hours, if you get a regular versus the ADA, the paratransit. So, yeah, it's like when they run for their hours, that's, you know, probably, and whether they run like for holidays and stuff or not. And it's that's where I would also say about voting, you know, for accessibility, for being able for people to vote in elections, I mean, to get out. So that I would hope the county would keep those voting, you know, accessibilities for people with disabilities.
Thank you. I think there's someone in the Zoom that has their hand raised. So, Vicki, if you have any comments.
Yeah, thanks. I think that one comment that I'd like to make is that I don't know about the Mental Health Board because I haven't recently been to any meetings there, but I know that on the DD Board, we do not have a member that has a disability, and at least that I'm aware of. And I think that that's a voice that's missing. And I don't know if you want to, any of you want to go through the work of having to read all those grant proposals every year, but we may want to consider doing an advisory committee for the board that could give us some input on occasion. I think this has been extremely valuable. And I really appreciate your openness and willing to share your concerns and your ideas.
Thank you very much. What'd you say?
One thing we agree on as advocates that is that we are happy to talk to funders like the board about what kind of services we enjoy and what can be changed. We are always thankful for the chance to speak on topics like these. We are glad you invited us today. Please continue to include us in your decisions on funding. We will continue to give you our thoughts.
Great.
Can I just... when I was on the Evanston Mental Health Board, all of the board members had to... Like, we're assigned to work with one or two of the agencies that were funded. So, like, you had to go and visit the agencies, like, 3 times a year. And we don't really do that as a DD board. I don't know. Do you all do that as a mental health board? Are you assigned a particular number of agencies and you have to, like, go or talk to them? And all? That might be.
There is a... You know, it's a legacy now. So the liaison, the board-to-board liaison list, and it's the last item in the Mental Health Board's agenda, so it's by then y'all are ready to go home. But it's also, they used to have formal liaison relationships that they would choose, but I think it was, Joe Omosagi will know for sure, I think it was when COVID came, we just couldn't do that, couldn't even make the time like it was really a time thing as well as a social isolation or whatever the word was, social distancing thing, but it stopped and it has been a time thing ever since then. But it is a practice that if the boards would like to do it, we can help organize that. That's something Stephanie Howard Gallo has done for the Mental Health Board for, I can't say how many years, she might get mad. But she knows how to do it. So that's, if y'all want to try it, it's a great option.
I just think that might be helpful for us to get this information, because you all have done a really great job of speaking to us and sharing your thoughts, and we could maybe do some more work to reach out to you, and maybe the liaison is a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe surveys, too, for the grants and services for agencies.
I'm really interested. I think your very first question and answer really got my attention, because that is so important. And then all the rest of your answers I was somewhat familiar with from previous surveys, and you know, some of the things you are pointing to are deep problems, deep system gaps. It's all, but that first one, I'm really interested in now at this point, now that you know that everything we do is recorded and posted somewhere, if you would be interested in looking at any of the recordings of our previous meetings and saying, like, well, this is, you know, kind of like, this is 3 hours of a lot of stuff that doesn't really apply to me or interest me. Or, you know, like just looking at the recordings of meetings may not be a dream come true. So I'm just interested if you could access this information more easily, if we could help with that just as an experiment, and then you tell us what's still missing from it. There are a couple of comments in here that you're not really sure what the boards do. So I don't know that watching those meetings is going to totally answer that. So I think that's something we could do in the very short term, that Kim Bowdry and Leon Bryson and I could work with you all to just get your impressions. And then if that's not quite it, then let's figure out what it is that's going to make it easier for y'all to be partners to us. Okay.
with that, I just want to thank everybody for being here. You know, I really appreciate all your feedback and your comments. It's very valuable. I think we have a great starting point for things we can do to hopefully improve the resources and availability of resources in the community. A lot of things for us to discuss in future meetings as well as the two boards. I really appreciate you guys taking your time out of your day to come here and advocate for the community. So thank you. With that, we can move on to the agency input. If there's any agencies here that wanted to make any comments that didn't get a chance to, now's your time. I will limit it to 5 minutes per agency. Is there any on the Zoom?
Yeah.
Dr. Fowler is suggesting we partner a little more directly with the Housing Authority on those vouchers that y'all were talking about, that housing for somebody, maybe you said? Was it Jen Straub? Housing subsidies for people with disabilities through the Housing Authority. We have experts right here in the room. Mm-hmm. So that's a great suggestion from Dr. Fowler.
And then any board announcements or input? No, with that, I'll move to adjourn. See you guys next month. Thanks.
Don't say it on me, buddy. I'm never
out. I know, right?
Record.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Real good, bud.
Yeah? Yeah. Sure, you still want to do that. What
are you going to do? I'm working at Special Rec now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's a great house for you. What are you doing over there?
I do an office assistant. Cool. Odd task, you know.
Yeah.
And part-time receptionist. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Great job, Jen.